Okay, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I come against this evil spirit that's trying to mess up our communications. I cast him off of this airwaves in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that you have solidified the airwaves to where we can talk and have a fellowship tonight in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for opening up the airwaves so that we could all converse together, Lord, and have a great time in you, Father. I ask for your anointing on all of us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome night in spite of what the enemy's trying to do. Because we got authority over his power because you gave it to us, Lord. And we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that tonight is going to be a special time in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, okay. Anybody got a prayer request? I can't see Debbie and Denny for whatever reason. I don't know where they went to.
Go ahead, Dave.
I pray for anything Kavanaugh. It's trying to become a Supreme Court justice. I pray that the obstructionists, their ways fail. I pray that he's given an honest Senate hearing. And even though there might be questions and contentions, which is fine, I ask, Lord, that this opened up and the country be able to see this man is qualified to do the work and be on the Supreme Court. I pray against anything that's coming against that now in the name of Jesus, and I bind it. Thank you, Father, for hearing our prayer over this thing. Amen.
And Lord, we bind up any witchcraft that might be coming against that, Lord, and we just pray for you to bless this whole thing, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Can y'all hear me?
A little bit.
I can hear you.
Okay. Go ahead, Tim.
I got a twofold prayer request. First one's for me. Lately, I've been short on patience, and I know that's a gift of the Spirit, and it's my old man's getting the best of me in a couple areas, and I need to be refilled with patience. So when we're done here, maybe you could pray for that for me. The other one is that my son-in-law, Tim, Matt's brother, is getting now where he should be able to work in Spokane instead of 400 miles away. And we agreed that we would pray for that the Lord would find a job for him here where he could exercise his seniority and be home and be with his family. So we thank you, Lord, that you give Tim a job here in Spokane or close by so he's home with the family during the week and not just on the weekends, and be able to spend time with his young children and his wife, and that you would bless him with that. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We agree. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else?
Hey, Michael?
Yes, sir.
You forgot about Tim wanting some patience.
I couldn't hear. What, he wanted some patience?
Yeah, he said he's been a little short on patience lately, so he said that okay. Is a gift of...
All right. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Tim to you, and we thank you, Lord, that he does want the patience, Father, that you've offered for us. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to help him out. You're going to help him out with these trials that's coming in for him, that he'll have patience through them to know that you are the one that's orchestrating this. And we thank you, Lord, that patience is going to be worked out in one way or the other. And, Lord, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for maturing all of us in that area as well. And we thank you, Father, for patience in each one of us, because we definitely can't have too much. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anyone else? Yeah, Missy.
Hello, Michael.
Hi, Gino.
I was going to ask for prayer for myself. I had a couple little episodes this summer while the girls were here, and so they wouldn't let it go, and so they had me go to the doctor, and I didn't pass my stress test. So now I'm scheduled for another stress test and a heart cath for tomorrow, and I would just like prayer for that. I'm believing they're not going to find anything, but because he said, well, there can be false positives on when you take those stress tests, so that's what I want to believe for.
Okay. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Gano to you and her heart. And we thank you, Lord, that that heart is healed. Every part of that heart is healed in the name of Jesus. It's stouter than it ever was before. And the doctor's going to say, there ain't nothing wrong with you. Go on home. And we thank you, Father, that the stress test is going to bring that out, that God's glory would be recognized because of it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for Gano's great, mighty, and strong heart in Jesus' name. And, Lord, make it a heart of flesh, too. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right. That's a done deal, girl.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you,
Lord. Well, good. Glad to hear it.
Amen.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Amen. I pray for Gano that she won't even need that heart catheterization at all. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Because
that's what I'm hoping for, too.
Amen. Amen. Find up those evil spirits that would try to do otherwise. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Okay, Missy.
Thursday, my dad is supposed to have a doctor's appointment. Back in May, he had a pacemaker put in, and the doctors aren't happy with how well it's working or something or whatever. He's supposed to have some kind of heart procedure, and they're waiting until to make sure that this, I think, pacemaker is working as well as it's supposed to be in order to do this, whatever it is. I think my mom calls it some kind of ablation or whatever. But anyway, so I just want to pray that he not even have to have this ablation. They decide not to even do it because the Lord just has intervened. So, Father, I just, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you, Lord, that when my dad goes into the doctor, and if he has any kind of test or whatever, just, Lord, I just ask you in the name of Jesus, I just command whatever is wrong with what they perceive as wrong. I just speak blessings, and I cast down that curse that has been spoken on him in the name of Jesus, and I break it. And I thank you, Lord, that he's not going to need that procedure. They're going to find out that he's not going to need it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We believe with her, Lord, that our dad's not going to have to need anything but going home and rejoicing with the Lord. In Jesus' name, going to his home. I'm not talking about her home. Thank you, Lord.
I just want to pray something else. My dad is like been disappointed the last time or two he's been to the doctor, and they've told him that, you know, that they can't do it yet because he wants to have this procedure. He thinks it's going to help him or whatever. And Lord, I just ask you to just put it in his heart, Lord, put it in his mind, speak to him, that you are his healer. Remind him, Lord, of things that I've spoken about healing. And, Lord, put it in his heart to just believe that he's not going to need it, Lord, in Jesus' name, because you are his healer, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Whatever you ask in my name, Lord, that's what you said, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Lord, we just believe what Missy prayed that is going to happen in the name of Jesus. Lord told us here the other night to speak the word, and he'd fulfill it. So that's what we're doing. We're going to speak the word. You don't have to speak it verbatim. You just have to know what it says and speak because of it. In Jesus' name. That's what the Lord told us. That's what we've been doing. And God's been answering prayer. Okay, who's next? Anything else, Missy?
I don't think so.
Are you
praise
sure?
The Lord, I got everything done with my car, and it doesn't. It didn't need anything for inspection, so I'm good to go for my trip.
Okay, praise good deal. All right, Lord, we just thank you for you being in the car with her as she comes to Tennessee, Lord. And we thank you. She's going to have an awesome time. And it's going to seem like it didn't take but just an hour or so to get here because she's going to be praising you, Lord, all the way in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Father. We had an awesome time in fellowship last night, Missy. I just want to let you know.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, just kind of.
Well, we're not declaring and proclaiming that when I come, awesome time.
Okay.
We're not there too.
All right, I believe it too.
Amen.
All right, anyone else? I'm gonna look for the time when I can see all of y'all down here. That's gonna be an awesome time when I see Andrew and Pat and Joe and Dave and George and all of you down here, Megan and Malcolm and all of you. We'll just have a party. We'll have a barbecue. Amen. All right, anybody else got a prayer request? Yeah, Dave, go ahead, brother.
This morning I got Acts 2, a passage, and I was, because it's been raining up here a little bit, and I was thinking about that when I got it, and shortly after I got it, it started raining again this morning. So I want to pray down. I was thinking about the Holy Spirit coming down on us like rain. So I want to pray that down. In Acts 2:16, I'm going to say, but this is what happened, has been spoken through the prophet Joel. It will be in the last days, says God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all your flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Yes, my servants and my handmaids in those days are pour out my spirits, and they will prophesy. I like to pray that down on UBM and the UBM Fellowship and the greater UBM and everybody in their families. I like to pray down the Lord's Spirit come down on us as prophesied by the prophet Joel. I pray that this be a sign in the days that we're supposed to receive your presence, Father, your complete infilling of the Holy Spirit, not only for us, but for everybody in our family and our sons and daughters, that you bring everybody fully in the kingdom at this time, and that there be no lack and no want anymore for your spirit. I pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. I believe it, Lord. We're looking for the latter rain. We're looking for the fullness of the former rain, too, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. We're going to see it here soon. Glory be to God. I'm just getting excited thinking about it. Man, I tell you what. Ooh, my. Thank you, Jesus. All right, anybody else? Judy, that's water you've been drinking, and that ain't something else, is it? Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead, Denny.
Someone else?
No, yeah. Go ahead.
I'd like to pray for my grandson. He's a 5-year-old. His name is Jonah. He misses his dad, and he'll cry for him. He'll want him.
dad doesn't live with them. And my daughter actually had another child with another man who she's more involved with now. But Jonah's dad, Evan, he comes around about once a month. He's in the rap music, and he's addicted to video gaming. He's really addicted to it. And it's really not actually good for Jonah to be with him, for one. So I'm going to pray for we're continuing praying for his salvation. But then that Jonah, that God, he'll just, that longing that he has to be with his dad would be, God would just replace that, just be content with where he's at and be satisfied with just being with Victory, and that the Lord would make up that difference. The Lord would fellowship with Jonah. So we do pray for that, Lord. We pray that you would fellowship with Jonah, Lord God, and fill his heart with peace. And I think he knows you even as a young boy like that. It's just amazing what he comes up with. And we just thank you, God. So just that longing he has to be with Evan, we just pray that you would just cause this to dry up. And Lord, we pray for Evan. We just thank you for salvation for Evan. We've been praying. We believe we have it for him in the name of Jesus. Just deliver him from the video games, this addiction he has to this, in Jesus' name, and all the music. And we just help him, Lord. Just bring him, grant him repentance, and help him come to you. And we just thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we just thank you for we pray that the Lord of Harvest would send somebody that this young man would listen to, Father, and that would bring him in. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father. All right. That's a done deal. Amen. Y'all believe that? Everybody here, raise your hand if you believe. I believe it. I believe that young man's coming in soon, too. Jesus' name. All right, Wade, go ahead, brother.
My wife and I are praying that just Storm Gordon would leave two of my brothers who are in his path alone, that they would be unharmed by the storm that's coming in tonight. And in Jesus' name, by his authority and his power.
We ask that the top of that storm be sheared off, and it would just
cease to be.
Cease to be.
Yeah. However, whatever God wants. There's a lot of people who need water.
Well, Lord, we're just thinking that it's going to just be rain, and not too much of it either, just enough. And, Father, we thank you for it, and we're looking for it, Lord, because we know you're going to get the glory. The weathermen already said they're going to have storms down there. We count that as null and void right now in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that it ain't going to do nothing but rain down there, and not just too much either. We command just enough, Lord, rain to come down on that region right there where Wade and Jeanette are and their friends, in Jesus' name. Amen, Wade.
Amen.
Amen. Well, more toward Mississippi is where my brothers live. One lives on the border of Mississippi and Louisiana. Another one lives in the middle, in Jackson.
Amen.
Thank you.
Okie doke. Is my reaction that slow? Because I can say something and it'll be probably 15, 20 seconds before anybody acknowledges that I'm even saying anything. See, I've already said it and ain't nobody responding.
Well, yes, Michael, you're talking, you're coming through so slow, it's probably we're waiting for you to finish before we actually respond.
You think? Okay, who's next? Praise the Lord.
If you need me to, I can just do this the rest of the night. Yeah. If that'll help.
No, that won't help. I know you already did it. All right, anybody else? Well, if I wanted to talk slow, I could talk slow. Oh, my. Thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome night. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. What about a testimony? A praise report. Praise God. If I turn my video on, it'll knock me off. So y'all can't see me sitting here having a good time. Okay. I'm having a ball. Go ahead, Pat.
I just wanted to pray about this one. I was obviously listening to David's message last night about the speaking forth of the truth, but this was one actually. It was mentioned here tonight, and so I was just looking. It was in Joel 2:23. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he giveth you the former rain in just measure, and he causes to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the canker worm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And you shall eat in the plenty and be satisfied, and shall praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be put to shame. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and I am the Lord your God, and there is none else, and my people shall never be put to shame. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. I just noticed that as I'm reading this right now. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. So, unfortunately, when I start reading these things and I see something, I have to stop and think about it for a minute and go back and look at what he was doing, why it was afterward. Be glad, you children of Zion, rejoice in the Lord. So the Lord is going to pour out his latter rain at the same time. He's going to give you the former rain in just measure and cause it to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain. And he's going to restore all things, his land, his people in his land, dwelling in him, and he in us, and we in him. And then he said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. So I don't understand the chronology of that whole process, or probably don't even understand exactly what God is saying here, other than we've always believed, the former rain, the latter rain, the spirit, the Lord pouring out his spirit in the end days for the ingathering harvest. And obviously, as Peter spoke in Acts, that this pouring out of the spirit was our entrance into the new covenant relationship with God and the fullness of God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit being in us and being given unto us. But all I can say is I believe it, and I believe that the Lord is doing it, and he is he's preparing us for a more in-depth understanding of that and a more in-depth filling of his Spirit to such a degree that we shall know that the Lord is in the midst of Israel, and that I, the Lord your God, and I am the Lord your God, and that there is none else, and my people shall never be put to shame. There's something about those words, that ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. It seems like there's something a little more intense about those words, other than just knowing that we are saved and knowing that, you know, we've repented, become Christians. But there's something a little more intense, I think, in these verses, that when he says, ye shall know that I am in the midst, there won't be any doubt. Everybody will know that he is in our midst. So David said to speak it out and to hand it to the Lord, to give it back to the Lord in prayer. And so I do tonight. Lord, I thank you for these words that you have given us. And I look forward, Lord, to the time when in a deeper, deeper way, we shall all know that you are in our midst and that we are in you, you are in us. Lord, being one in Christ, one in God. And Lord, we thank you for that. We praise you. We praise you for, Lord, I'm thinking back in Ezekiel when the pouring out of the Spirit, when you shall put in us, create in us new hearts, a new heart within us. Something, I'm feeling something a little different, a little stronger, a little more intense than what we have been used to up to this point, that you're going to fill us to the overflowing and allow your Spirit to reign and walk and motivate us to the very nth degree, Lord. And we just trust you for that. We trust you for your word. You said that even then I will be inquired of this to do that for them by the house of Israel. And Lord, we just inquire it of you, Lord, to set us free, manifest the reality of your life within us, set us free in the Holy Spirit, set us at peace. Lord, all of these things you've done for us, and Lord, we just ask you to make that reality more intense in us, that we might truly be the witnesses that you've created us to be for you and for your word. And Lord, we just praise you for it. We thank you for it. We thank you that you are the creator, the author, and the finisher of our faith. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And we thank you for it, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for the former and the latter rain. The latter rain is for those mature Christians. Go ahead, Denny.
Yeah. I might have a little insight into that, Pat. When it talks about the former rain and the latter rain in the first month, the Hebrews, they actually operated on two calendars. One started with, one was the harvest calendar for harvesting their crops, and then one was a religious calendar for their religious festivals. Okay, now in the harvest calendar, on the seventh month was also the first month of the religious calendar. In the scripture talks about receiving the former rain and the latter rain in the first month, he's actually talking about the seventh month of the harvest calendar, and it's the first month of the religious calendar. And that month you have, and the first day of the month was the Feast of Trumpets. And then you had the 10 days of awe. We've been actually receiving things down here in our morning meetings about that 10-day period and about the Feast of Tabernacles. And we're just coming in this calendar year, we're just in September here, around the 11th or so, that we're just starting all this stuff in this calendar year. But anyway, on the first day of the seventh month was the Feast of Trumpets. Then they had the 10 days of awe. And on the 10th day of the seventh month was the Day of Atonement, when all sin was removed. And then there was a five-day period, and then began the Feast of Tabernacles, which went for a week. But that whole season from the first to the end of the Feast of Tabernacles was called Tabernacles. The whole season was the Tabernacle season, but it actually had three feasts. And so we kind of really believe that God is really, it's like getting a double portion of the Spirit. Actually, as he fulfills that Feast of Tabernacles, we've had the fulfillment of Passover when we were saved, and we get the revelation of Jesus. And when you come to Pentecost, we had the fulfillment of Pentecost with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the church has gone that far. Much of the church will recognize that. But what we're looking forward to is the fulfillment of that third feast, which was promised for the end times, and it's the times we're in now. That third feast has to be fulfilled. And so it'll be trumpets, and then Day of Atonement, all sin removed, and then being able to dwell and tabernacle with God, you know, for eternity because of all sin being removed. So, you know, there's just spiritual fulfillments to all these natural things. And I think he's speaking more to the church, the spiritual church, rather than the natural Jews over there. Anyway, but I'll just, you know, throw it out to you. We can, so Father, give us revelation. We just want to be obedient in the season that we're in. And what you're doing now, Lord, we want you to Amen. To move in us, reveal your life in us, Father. And we thank you, God. We thank you for that hunger that we can have, for what Pat's expressing. And we just trust you for answers.
Amen.
So, amen.
Hey, Denny, can you put what you just said there in a graph form? You said the first thing that happens is obviously is our birth in Christ, then Pentecost, and then this outpouring. Can you put that in a graph-like form, a pictorial form, by any chance?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. It could be. I don't remember what there is to look at as far as graphs and charts and hidden manna. But yeah, I can do that.
I caught the top layer of what you were talking about there, but when you were connecting it with the different feasts, it would be good to be able to connect what you're saying to the feasts. I know you blew through that pretty quick, and yeah. I wasn't following it, but the interesting thing is I've been reading some stuff on this, the fullness of the Spirit, the fullness of God is that he's going to pour out in these end days. And it seems as though it's connected also with a certain aspect of our discipleship and our personal growth in him. That there's a connection there. Well, obviously there's a connection, but there's a pattern there is what it looks like. And it almost sounded like when you're talking about the feasts and what happens through that progression, it almost sounds like it correlates, or like it's a pattern that happens also in our life of sanctification, you know, yeah. Birth and then sanctification.
That same pattern is expressed in the outer court, the holy place, and the holy of holies. You know, there's a progression there from the outer court, which would represent Passover, going into the holy place, which would represent Pentecost, and going into the holy of holies, which would represent tabernacles. So it's expressed in there's a lot of threes that are where God sort of completes all of history in terms of threes, where it's easy to understand. Coming out of Egypt, going through the wilderness, going into the promised land, or being baptized in the Red Sea, being baptized in the cloud, being baptized in the Jordan River. We go in, there's just a whole bunch of threes. There's the 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. There's Aaron's rod that budded when it comes to authority. He had there was the buds, the blossoms, and the almonds all on. There's three stages there. But in each one of them, that third stage speaks about this Feast of Tabernacles, that realm of the Spirit, that third realm of the Spirit that church hasn't really had yet, but God is bringing us right to it. I mean, we're right there. That's what he's going to do in us. He's going to perfect us, or quicken us, you know, make us like Christ. And it's him doing it. He causes it. He enables. He's the, that's, so thank you. Thank Jesus for that. I can try to make up something or see. I remember getting it from others. So, I mean, I got this revelation from a whole bunch of other people over the years. You know, you learn some here, and got a lot of it from Bill Britton, and most of it was from him, from his teaching. They used to really study his stuff a lot. But sure. How do we get it to you? Should I get it to you then? How do I get it to you if I make something up? Or
if you make something up and you email it to me, I'll email it to everybody else.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I'll work on it. Okay. Yeah, thanks. Okay, Lord bless.
Amen.
Hey, talked you right into a job, did he? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anyone else? The Feast of, there you go. Amen. All right, anyone else? What does that say? Oh, Bill Britton. That's his book right there. All right. Okay, anyone else? You know, that's something I never did get into too much is studying the temple and what all that stuff represented, other than what David has shared over the years. All right, anyone else got something they'd like to testify about, praise about, or comment on? Or we could continue on. Yeah, Dave.
I'd like to continue the comment a little bit about the temple that we're talking about, fulfilling the third stage here. Is that, when does that happen? That's not the millennial age, is it? That's not after tribulation. Is that before the trib? That during the trib? That after the trib? When does this fullness of the Spirit come like that? Does anybody know? Do you know, Denny?
You're talking about the latter rain and the former rain?
Yeah, because it sounds like Denny's talking about this latter rain fulfilling or fulfillment. Speaks of God coming fully in his temple, and that means his people. And so it perfects them in a sense. It gives them a complete infilling of the Spirit that we don't have even today, which separates us completely from our sins, it sounds like. A perfection of some type. Is that what I'm hearing? If that is, when does that happen?
Yeah, we can have that now by faith. And the book we're studying in the book study is Perfection Through Christ. And he talks about having a covering that covers us while God is patient with us, while we're learning to overcome. But there comes a time when Christ's Spirit dwells in us to the point where then it's manifested. His life is manifested in us, and we overcome sin. We don't have to live in sin. We can overcome it. And so that can be at now, and those are good questions.
Well, the former rain fell at Pentecost. That was what fell at Pentecost. That was the former rain. It's already here. We just haven't experienced it in its fullness. Now, what Joel is talking about, there's going to come a time here shortly. Are y'all able to hear me? You won't believe how long it was till y'all shook your head.
Yes, I can.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
You can't hear me? Okay. The former rain's already here.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, the former rain was already here. The latter rain comes at the man-child anointing, and the man-child represents Jesus, the perfection. Okay, that's the perfection. That's what Denny was talking about. That was the at the end there, the perfection. He's going to be the first one that receives the latter rain with the fullness of the former rain. And because of that, he's going to know all, see all, and direct all. It's going to be just like Jesus. And as people mature, they will get that fullness. They will get that latter rain. There's going to be another surge of that, you know. That's what David teaches in a hidden manner. Yeah. And he's got the scriptures to back it up. So that's just in a nutshell, that's when it happens. And it looks like from all the words that we're getting in the morning meeting, this thing is fixing to take place, the anointing of the man-child, the birth of the man-child ministry. Not the birth of the man-child, but the man-child ministry. And that birth of it is when he gets anointed with the light of rain. And then he leads the church into the wilderness. Praise God. And then the bride comes into the fullness of the latter, of the former rain. At that time, they will disciple the people coming into the kingdom and the people coming out of the apostate churches. And that's it in a nutshell. Does that make sense? Y'all shake your head. This is weird. This is so weird. Okay. I can hear y'all in real time, it looks like, but y'all can't hear me in real time. All right, somebody else talk. Oh, my. Help me, Jesus. You ought to see what I'm seeing on here, okay? I've talked, and I had to sit here and wait 15, 20 seconds before y'all say anything. Okay. All right, let's get on the promises. Let somebody else. Let me mute myself.
Michael, you're funny. Can you hear me? Michael?
Well, if I say yes, yeah, it's going to be 15, 20 seconds. So, yeah, I can hear you.
That's what I was trying to, I was going to try to say, are you already partaking of this and being drunk in the spirit?
No comment.
Oh, like you.
No comment.
Oh, Lord.
All right. Who else wants to say something? 15 or 20 seconds after I say something. Oh, thank you, Lord. This is weird. Oh, my. Okay, the promises tonight. Lord, I promise. Y'all quit. Oh, help me, Jesus. Who's got a promise of God? Y'all didn't hear me, did you? If you did, nobody responded. I don't know what. Oh, my goodness. Thanks a lot. Thank you, Jesus. I'll start it out. Promise of God. Lord says in Hebrews 13 and 5, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's to those that never leave him, you understand. There are lots of them that walk out of him, walk away from him. But he'll never leave you as long as you're going with him. All right, anybody else got one? Nobody else got a promise? Yeah, Tim, go ahead, brother.
As long as we're in Hebrews, it's 7, down through 25. And it says, by so much also hath Jesus become the surety of a better covenant. And they indeed have been made priests, many in number, because by death they are hindered from continuing. But he, because he abideth forever, hath his priesthood unchangeable. Wherefore also he is able to save to the uttermost them that draw near unto God through him, seeing he liveth to make intercession for them. Sounds like a pretty
Amen.
Good
problem. That's a good one.
I'm sorry, that was Hebrews 7, 22 through 25.
Thank you. Y'all just go ahead without my prompt. Just go ahead and say yours if you want to that way. There's a bunch of them in Matthew 5, if you didn't know. Okay, go ahead. One somebody.
I can read this 2 Samuel 22 I got today. David's talking about how he was delivered from all his enemies, and I think we can apply this to us also. 2 Samuel 22, I'll start at one. I'll go through the whole thing. David's song of deliverance. David spoke to the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies, and out of the hand of Saul. He said, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, even mine. God, my rock, in him I will take refuge, my shield, in the horn, my salvation, my high tower, and my refuge, my Savior. You saved me from violence. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. For the waves of death surrounded me, the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The cords of Sheol were around me, the snares of death caught me. In my distress, I called on the Lord. Yes, I called to my God. He heard my voice out of his temple. My cry came to his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of the heaven quaked and were shaken because he was angry. Smoke went up out of his nostrils, fire out of the mouth. His mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. The bold, he bowed the heavens also and came down. Thick darkness was under his feet. He rode on cherubim and flew, and he guided on the wings of the wind. He made darkness pavilions around him. He gathering of waters and thick clouds of the sky. At the brightness before him, coals of fire were kindled. The Lord thundered from heaven. The Most High uttered his voice. He set out arrows. He scattered them, lightning, and confused them. Then the channels of the sea appeared. The foundations of the world were laid bare by the rebuke of the Lord at the blast of his nostrils. He sent from on high, and he took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They came on me in the days of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. He rewarded me according to the cleanliness of my hands. For I kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from God, my God. For all his ordinances were before me. As for statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also perfect toward them. I kept myself from iniquity. Therefore, the Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanliness in his eyesight. With the merciful, you will show yourself merciful. With a perfect man, you will show yourself perfect. With the pure, you show yourself pure. With the crooked, you will show yourself shrewd. You will save the afflicted people, but your eyes are on the proud, that you may bring them down. For you are my lamp, Lord. The Lord will light up my darkness. For you, I run against a troop. By my God, I will leap over a wall.
Yeah, that was some good one. Somebody want to read the ones in Matthew 5? There's a bunch of them there. If you didn't, you know, it's Matthew 5 through, 3 through 11. Somebody read that. I'm too slow.
I will.
Okay.
I hear you laughing, Michael.
No, I'm not laughing.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are they that have been persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall reproach you and persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake.
Amen. I got a question about those, if you don't mind. What is it? What is someone who is poor in spirit? Can somebody help me out here? Go, Missy.
Okay. I guess you could kind of say a person that humble that improves their need of the Lord.
Okay. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, just humble, knowing that their need of the Lord.
I mean, as someone that's void of pride, void of self, void of the world, wouldn't it be? Somebody that's poor in spirit. He ain't got nothing but the Lord. That's all he wants. Blessed are those. That's what I'm thinking. Now, one that always kind of got me was the next one, which is, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. What's he talking about there? Can somebody help me out on that one? Go ahead, Matt.
What comes to mind was in Revelation, when those that all those that are before God, it says that God shall wipe away every tear. They that mourn, that are sad, now they're going to be comforted when they come to heaven.
Okay, could it? Yeah, Pat, go ahead.
I guess what I'm seeing there is it's connected with verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That word for poor means bankrupt. And because those that have need of God's Spirit find themselves in a state of mourning or grief for the lack of that Spirit. And the promise, and again, I look at these things. I guess the Lord is kind of opening up my eyes to see that when, like, these verses were spoken to the Lord's disciples, to his apostles. I mean, they were spoken. When I sometimes reading the word, the Gospels especially, you tend to think that God is, the Lord was speaking a lot of these things and a lot of the truths in the New Testament in from Paul and Peter and James and all these, they were speaking to Christians. And these words here, blessed are the poor in spirit, were not spoken to lost sinners out there in the world, although it certainly applies to everybody, to sinners. But these were words that the Lord spoke to his followers. And I keep thinking that there is not only the introductory level of understanding that we get when we're born again, we're birthed into the kingdom, but there's a progression of sanctification and holiness and maturing in the Lord that that it there's, I believe, is even a deeper application of these very same words. Poor in spirit, because I think we all look to want to be rich in spirit. You know, we want to be rich and be full of God and full of everything and full of His Spirit, full of Him. But I'm not so sure that there isn't a time of awareness that I need to experience or become aware of, and that is just how really bankrupt I truly am before God in comparison to God. I remember a line in a movie one time that a person said, it's hard to fill up a full cup. And it just to be filled with the Spirit of God to a certain degree, I believe we have to be empty. We have to provide an empty cup. And I have to say, I feel like I'm an empty cup right now, so I shouldn't be laughing about this, but I must have got that you got a hold of there.
Yeah, get you another drink, Pat. Get you another drink, brother. Go ahead, Andrew. Help him out, Andrew.
Well, I was thinking of this poor in spirit, and I got no pride written here for prudence, poor in spirit. So I think this empty cup is really where you really have to go, because I'm kind of associating Matthew 5 and 3 with Philippians 2, 5, 6, and 7 with what Jesus did. And there it says, have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who existed in God's form, counted not the being on an equality with God ought to be grasped at, and emptied himself. So there you have it, Pat. You weren't wrong. Taking on a bondman's form, being made in likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, and humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, yea, death of the cross. And we have that spiritual cross with to take up. So he's telling you to have this same kind of thought in yourself too. So this poor in spirit, I think it's the, if you want to be blessed, you want to be rich in God's spirit, but poor in the spirit that you had, man's spirit, man's glory, poor in the old man, you know. That's what I think this to be blessed and poor in spirit would mean, that you are this empty cup that the Lord is filling, and He's actually emptying you too, because there's a good way of emptying kids who are real children, and then we were all real children once too, and we were chastened. And, Jeremiah agrees by saying, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. And he's talking about how the Lord just takes over all of you, because he's bought you. You are owned by him, And of course, you have to have that humbleness that you need to bow to this constantly, to his changing you and him magnifying you and manifesting through you, witnessing not just verbally, but behaviorally and physically, you know, in all your demeanor, because it's not yours anymore either, the demeanor, it's his. And that's what I find this poor in spirit has to be a blessing. So and you have to belong to the kingdom through it. So the kingdom is the Lord's, and the kingdom is within you, as he told the story about to the rich merchants. Just where will this kingdom be? And the kingdom is within you. And when a manifestation happens, the kingdom is very near now, nigh you. And we always want those manifestations to happen and to be nigh to us and near us. And it's one thing, again, to know all this stuff, but it's another thing for it to actually happen, you know. And he's going to restore all this as which you spoke earlier on the, what those worms and those bugs took from us, and he's going to restore this fruit, and then this spirit's going to come forth. And I sort of believe that that's what it says at the end of Mark, where you got to go and preach the good news, the teachings of Jesus and the apostles. And then you're going to get those signs and wonders there, the proof of your childhood, the proof of the manifestations that are there, the speaking in tongues, the deliverances, the taking up things, drinking things that are ought, or taking up serpents and they shall not harm you, and laying hands on the sick and they shall recover. These will come, but they don't come necessarily first unless the Lord uses that as an avenue for this person's salvation. They'll come first. This is why you get some people who aren't even Christian yet, and they'll get an answer from God. They'll get a healing. And it's for their salvation, to prove that he does exist and he's there. And they'll get their deliverance. And then they go on and they'll get their salvation. And then they'll say, hey, look what it says here. And the whole thing follows through. It's really how God choreographs it for that individual. You know, sometimes it goes the way it says it there exactly in Mark. It's just how he progresses to have it done, because he's the one who does it all anyway. I hope you heard me there anyway.
Yep, I heard every word. That's good. Yes, absolutely. Go ahead, Judy. Sue.
Yeah, I was looking at a cross reference from about the one being not the poor in spirit, the other one about anyway, the cross reference was Isaiah 61, and if I'd like to read 1 to 3.
Wow, young.
I'll read 1 to 4, actually. Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes. That's the verse that it was on. The oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of the spirit of fainting. So they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will raise up the former devastations, and they will repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. When I was reading that, I was thinking about what it's going to be like for people in tribulation. You know, the beginning of tribulation, there's going to be people that are going to be poor in spirit because they'll be devastated. And, you know, they could be believers that just didn't follow the Lord, didn't live for him like they should have. And they're going to be mourning, and they're going to be feeling, you know, just empty. And, you know, I'm wondering if that does relate to that time frame. You know, even like I know in Revelation, it talks about that the Lord will comfort those that have mourned, because maybe we'll find people that we love that are not going to be with us in heaven. But I was just thinking about this portion, if that related to, could relate to tribulation time. Any comments?
Well, Missy's got one. Go ahead, Missy. Oh, I thought she was raising her hand. Okay.
She's playing with the dog.
She's playing with that dog.
That's okay.
Yeah, does that seem like it could be the case?
Well, it could be. Most of the things that I've seen about that second verse, blessed are the those that mourn, talks about those that are intercessors, that intercede and mourn for the people around them and pray for those around them and intercede for their family members and whatever, you know. And that's what I've seen. I believe what you're talking about could be it too, you know. It's those that mourn for the kingdom of God, and the poor in spirit. As well, talks about those. If you remember in the scriptures, Jesus ministered to the poor, didn't he? He ministered to the poor folks. He ministered to the ones that were in bondage. He ministered to the ones that needed healing. He ministered to all those that were in all kinds of bondages, and he needed needed that kind of a ministry that Jesus said. And to be poor in spirit is to have a humble opinion of yourself, and to be kind of sensitive to understand that we're sinners. We were sinners until God came along ourselves, and not to be prideful. And to get rid of, somebody said it a while ago, is to get rid of that pride. And that's Andrew and Pat both, I think, said that. And that's the where God wants us. And to mourn is to mourn, in my opinion, one of my opinions on that one. There's more to it than that. There's a couple of layers on that one. Is to mourn after the lost, you know. Pray and mourn after the lost. Travail, remember?
Yeah, that's,
you know, you want to travail.
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else on either one of those first two? I believe we're all right. I believe, you know, it's just to encapsulate a lot of that. Go ahead, Denny.
Yeah. I know. And then Isaiah, the one that Sue read there. When Jesus was in Capernaum, he read up to the middle of verse 2, and he stopped right in the middle of the sentence and then handed the book back and said that this day, you know, these scriptures are fulfilled in your ears. But where he left off, the second part of that verse 2 was, and the day of vengeance of God, and you go on and on and on and on. I guess if I'm understanding this right, that this, those, Jesus' earthly ministry was fulfilled in those first 1.5 or 2, verse 1 and half of verse 2, and that the ministry of the man-child picks up the day of vengeance. The ministry of Christ in his man-child comes to fulfill the rest of the scripture.
Amen.
The day of vengeance is going to be ministered in but it seemed like an odd thing for him to read that. He's reading those scriptures and he stops right, hands the book back, and he didn't fulfill the rest of them. The only obvious answer is that they're going to be fulfilled yet later. But I think David even teaches that that's the ministry of the man-child.
Yep. I think you're right. I think, is Debbie over cooking cookies? He ain't listening, is he? Go ahead, Pat.
I was noticing all that in verse 1 there where it said, the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek and has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. And then it says, to proclaim liberty to the captives. And if you go down where what Danny was saying there, in verse 2, said, and this is where Jesus stopped before he started in the next portion of that verse was, and the day of vengeance of our God. But look at just what comes right after that, and to comfort all that mourn. It's like it almost repeats itself, which kind of reminds, I think, of the man child in the latter days. He stopped, and Jesus stopped at just before the day of vengeance of our God, and he came binding up the brokenhearted and proclaiming liberty to the captives, and the man-child, after in the time of the vengeance of the day of the vengeance of our God, will also come to comfort all that mourn, and to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them a garland for ashes, and the oil of joy for mourning. And it's like he's talking about those in Zion that will be mourning, and changing that mourning from a spirit of heaviness into a spirit of praise. I think it's speaking of not only what Jesus did in his ministry, but that fulfillment, like Denny is saying, that fulfillment in our time where he will fulfill that which he started in the gospel. So that's just what I was thinking.
Amen. Anybody else? Yeah, go ahead, George.
We've been talking about praying the word, and I've been getting into each chance I can to go through Psalms and pick the day of the month and then add 30 to it and then add 30 to it and try to just systematically at least look for clues and hear God on a daily basis in the Psalms and what we're talking about in the end times, reading the Psalms, praying the Psalms, you see a lot of warfare and a lot of distributing of the wrath of God on our enemies and then giving grace and hope to people. You know, you hear about, you know, God taking up our battle and beating the enemy down and all this wrath and warfare. And then you get one or two verses in the same passages that are talking about taking refuge in God and how he's looking out for us and he's not going to let us be put to shame and things like that. And I feel like that when the tribulation does start, that it's such a simple yet powerful thing. You know, we know we're supposed to be celebrating his victory and he always causes us to triumph. And I feel like that is going to be a way that we are, the man child and the body is going to minister to these new Christians and these people coming back to God, that there's an organized enemy out there that's about to get their butts kicked really bad. And we don't need to fear when we see the shaking happening, that we need to find hope in those battles, even that God is straightening things out and that he is making his bride without spot and blemish. He's coming back for that pure bride. So that's just been encouraging for me as a discipline, I guess I should say.
Amen. Well, you hit on something there, because when this tribulation starts, that anointing, that latter and former and latter rain anointing is going to change everything. It's going to change the world, because those men, when they come out with that latter rain anointing, they're going to speak judgments. They're going to show people what God can and will do. And the faith is going to jump up 150%. People are going to understand that God is in charge. Not only that, they're going to understand that God backs his word up with faith and action. That's the way it's going to be. And people are going to come flocking to Jesus because of it. They're going to come out of the apostate church. The apostate church leaders are going to come against the man child in a mighty way, but they can't do nothing about it. They cannot, they won't be able to do a thing about it because God is behind them. Praise God. Woo, Lord, that can get somebody stirred up. Thank you, Lord. I'll tell you what, I am excited about this time. We're fixed to come in because of the latter rain and the fullness of the former rain. Even y'all are going to see it. All of us are going to see this. All of us are going to, most everybody that's running after the Lord is going to experience this former rain to its fullness. Some of you are going to experience the latter rain. Woo, glory be to God. I'm telling you, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be an awesome time for the Christian.
Just a quick
footnote.
Michael?
Yeah, well, the enemy didn't want y'all to hear that, but I'm sitting over here preaching the word, glory be to God.
Just another afterthought there is, I keep thinking of the two witnesses being slain in the streets and being seen all over the world. It's no wonder that they're going to be getting slain in the streets, because the message they're going to give is going to a supernatural hatred for them. The religious structure and the sold out to the world type so-called Christians, and you know, there's that day of reckoning is going to be so hard for them to deal with. It's no wonder to me that the two witnesses are going to face severe opposition, but thank God, God rules the day, and we'll finish this thing up the way he wants to do it.
That's the thing about it. God's going to do it. He's going to finish it out. And the two witnesses are going to be all over the world. They're going to be people martyred for Christ because of the power of God in those two witnesses. Now, you know that y'all understand that the two witnesses are a bunch of people. It's a bunch of people. It ain't just two folks. It's God's. Remember, Jesus told them, say, y'all go out two by two. Y'all go out two by two. And when you go out two by two, that's the two witnesses. If when they go out, they're going to be full of God. And they're going to have the power of God on them. And they're going to call judgment. I'm telling you, it's going to be an awesome sight. You think Elijah calling fire down on them 50 folks, them 50 soldiers were something? You watch what these two witnesses do. I hope y'all can hear me. Devil, you better get ready because your time's coming. Amen. You can mess with me all you want to. Take me in and out. That's all right.
Michael.
Yes.
You're going to have to listen to this tape tomorrow, okay?
Really?
You sound like a drunken sailor.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. Okay, I'll listen to it tomorrow. I'll shut up. Y'all go head home.
God forbid, we who died to sin, how shall we live any longer therein? And I'm seeing Paul is saying, is speaking a truth of awareness that we who died to that sin, there's no way we can live any longer in it, is what he's saying. At least I believe so. Or are you ignorant that all we who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? You know, I thought about that one time, is that being baptized into Jesus' death, how do you have that awareness? How do you become aware of death? I mean, that sounds a little bit morbid, but I can tell by looking at everybody in this room here, none here has died and live to tell about it. So how do you become aware of that, of death? It's something that we haven't experienced it. But only through God's Spirit, I believe, can we start to perceive what that actually means. And I believe it means a lot more than what I have up to this point perceived it to be, I guess you might say. Paul is speaking of truths here that are substantial, that are foundational. I'm sounding like a goofball now as I'm speaking, but I think he's talking about a perspective of a death, a perspective of death in us that so nullifies that sin nature in us, that inherited sin package that we received, that it no longer has the ability to live within us, no longer has the ability. And I believe that is the perspective that I am seeking from the Lord, to have that perspective of that sin package that I received from Adam and through those generations is so nullified that it has no spiritual motivation in me. So that's what I want to see. That's what I want to experience. That's what I want. So anyway, just giving that out just as a point of prayer for me. Praise the Lord.
At any time you overcome something, when you're tempted, when you overcome, you're experiencing a death to that self. But when you walk away from it overcoming, you experience the resurrection, because you allowed Christ in you to handle that thing. You overcame it. You experienced death and resurrection. The old man died. So it's a daily thing. We learn to overcome one temptation at a time, and he always provides a way of escape. So you look for that way of escape every time and take it. When it comes, you have to take it. But then you experience a death and a resurrection each time you overcome.
Amen. I was thinking, I like what you said there, Denny. It's like Paul says, I die daily. Sometimes I don't think that we really recognize when we're dying until after we've not gone there anymore. You know, the sin nature, some things in our lives, we may not realize that, oh, I don't do that anymore. But we don't know right away, we don't realize it. So to experience that death, it's a process. It's every day we got to die to self. And, you know, that's what I think, that I don't realize until after, or maybe weeks later, oh, I don't have a desire to do that anymore. Or I don't want to do that. You know, I'm not doing that anymore. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Tim.
Oh, okay. I just, what Sue was just talking about, in Ephesians 2, it doesn't really talk about it incrementally like that, but it talks about it kind of lumped together. And you did he make alive when you were dead through your trespasses and sins. And it goes down to say, and raised us up with him and made us to sit with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's through the overcoming and the regeneration and putting to death the parts of the old man. And then that brings us to where we're sitting with Christ in heavenly places. 1-6 in Ephesians 2.
You know, and the other thing, if when tempted like that, if we do the opposite and give in to the sin, we crucify Christ within us. You know, the Christ that as we put him to death. Again, that's what that scripture says, that we can crucify him again. So if we give in to sin, that's what we're doing. We're allowing the old man to live, resurrect, and we crucify Christ. So it's just, but that's just the opposite of what we have to crucify the old man to allow Christ to live.
I would think the Christ that we're crucifying is a Christ within us. And we're putting to death Christ instead of the old man at that point that's within us. Right? Okay.
How many of you were around, probably most of you, when a lot of David's teachings earlier on, I'm thinking 7-8 years ago, he talked about feeding the white dog and not the black dog, and then feeding the black dog and not the white dog. And it's kind of that. You've got to, you know, you've got to feed the spirit, the white spirit dog, and starve the black dog so that the white spirit dog wins when there's that battle going on. It was a pretty good analogy. You know, kind of got my attention back in the day.
Yeah, I actually thought about that tonight when you said that.
I actually thought about that story about that evangelist. I think he was from Wales, and he didn't go to his mother's funeral. And he was surrounded by all these people, and they were giving him a good tongue lashing. And he just didn't, he was there with one of his associates, and the associate was starting to, after a while, to try and defend him, and he was getting angry. But this evangelist was not, and he just let them rail on him for about a good 20 minutes about that. And they eventually just gave up and went away. It reminded me of that story about that evangelist that was spoken on one of these conference calls also. Yeah.
Yeah.
That kind of reminds me too of there was a story about a man that was, and I don't know the exact name, might have been Wigglesworth or somebody, I don't know, somebody that was going out in the towns, and he was so spiritually minded that there was a fellow that wanted to have a conversation with him and talk to him about things, but the guy that came up and was trying to converse with him and talk with him, the conversation never got off the ground. It couldn't go anywhere with either one of them because one guy was not the guy that wanted to have the conversation with the evangelist. His mind wasn't right. He didn't have his mind set right with the Lord. And so he couldn't come up to this guy's level, and the other guy couldn't come down to his. Not that he wasn't, you know, being compassionate, but they just weren't there in the same place. And so there was 15, 20 minutes and almost nothing happening at this table. And the evangelist just ends up eventually just walking away because there's nothing there that they can share. And it was so frustrating for this guy to realize that he couldn't understand at the time why nothing could have been accomplished there. He's looking for fulfillment, but his mind wasn't there. His mind wasn't right. He didn't devote himself in time and prayer to get himself prepared and his heart prepared in order to be with this guy. He just wanted to come up and just start talking and just be refreshed rather than repenting and coming in the image of the Lord and renewing his mind and his spirit. And if he had did that, maybe he would have been more spiritually prepared for that conversation. And then the two could have shared something. Maybe that at that time the evangelist could have met him where he needed to be. I hope that doesn't happen with us. I hope we can, you know, find those times to get our hearts prepared in order to meet and be with the Lord so that we don't fall short, you know, where we need to be in pursuing the Lord and seeing what he has to tell us, you know, miss that opportunity.
Well, that's why it is integral that we stay in the Word and understand what Jesus is talking about. Remember, the disciples, the whole time that Jesus was on earth, went around with him scratching their head. They didn't understand a word Jesus was telling them. At the time, you know, what is he talking about? And they didn't understand until after they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they started putting two and two together and the Holy Spirit was helping them. So, yeah, I can see how that could happen. You cannot be too spiritually minded. Okay, does somebody else got something else to say? I'm getting a spirit of rejection here because I can't, if I talk, I sound like a drunken sailor. And I don't want to sound like a drunken sailor. So, yeah. Oh, praise God.
We love you, Michael.
I repent, Michael. I repent.
Michael, you could never have that spirit of rejection.
Yeah, I cast it off of him in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Okay, what about blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. We've got a few minutes left. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. What is he talking about there?
Humble.
Can anybody tell me? Go ahead, Missy, you're on me to tell us what it means.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was I don't know. I was just going to look up a cross reference and see if I could say something. Well, meek is humble. Inherit the earth. I mean, makes me think of ruling and reigning with the Lord for that millennial period. That's what I think. I mean, that's what it makes me think of.
Well, if we pattern ourselves after Jesus, that would be meekness at its best, right?
Yeah, humble.
Mm-hmm. Albert Barnes says, meekness is patience in the reception of injuries. It is neither meanness nor a surrender of our rights nor cowardice, but it is the opposite of sudden anger, of malice, of long-harbored vengeance. So that'll give you a hint what meekness is. It's the opposite of anger and bitterness. Anybody else got another definition? Go ahead, Missy.
I looked at one of the cross references. Is Psalm 37:11. It says, "But the meek shall inherit the land, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace."
Okay.
You get back to verse 10. It says, "For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and he shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the land and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just and the gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord will laugh at him, for he sees that his day is coming." Anyway, you can go on and on. But anyway, yeah.
Well, that brings to mind another verse, and that's Romans 12:19. "Avenge not yourselves, beloved, but give place unto the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance belongeth unto me, and I will recompense, saith the Lord." Meekness is taking it with a grin on your face. Anybody else? Just like that evangelist that, who was it talking about, that they were railing against, he didn't say anything. He just kept his mouth shut. and they ran out of arguments with him. They couldn't rile him up. All they could do was rile up his associate pastor there. He was meek. He was in meekness. He was doing like Jesus. He said, y'all go ahead on, rail on. It's against me. I can do this. And he just waited him out.
Wasn't that Evan Roberts in the Welsh revival?
Could have been. I don't know. I don't remember.
I remember that, either reading that story or hearing it in the group here.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we read it.
I received heard someone gave me a definition of meekness, although I haven't been able to figure out how he came up with it, but it was, he defined it as power under control. So I'm looking at the three places the word is used in the New Testament, obviously Matthew 5:5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And Matthew 21:5, when he says, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto me, meek and sitting upon an ass, the colt, the foal of an ass. And then in 1 Peter 3:4, it says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God great price. So in those three instances, I don't understand where the concept would be power under control, but that's what I was told.
Well, I can tell you this much about power under control. Remember what Jesus told the disciples when the soldiers come to get him and Judas? Remember what he told him? After Peter whacked his ear off, he said, don't you know I can get 12,000 people dead? 12,000, what is it? 12 legions of angels? Was that when he said that, or was it when he was before Pilate? Either way, both places he said that. Both places he told them, he said, you can't do nothing unless my Father in heaven lets you. You know? That's power under control there. I like that, Pat. And I hope I didn't sound drunk when I said that. Go ahead, bud.
Hello? Michael? Oh.
Yes, sir.
The other one was Moses was considered the meekest man, I think, in his time. And he had that availability of God's power, but he didn't operate it. He let God use it. So it was power under God's control. He didn't assert himself, but yet God flowed through him in power.
Yeah, I like that phrase, power under control. That's what we are. We're power under control. You know, look at little Judy there. She got more power than a nuclear bomb behind her, and she don't realize it yet. She ain't big as nothing. She got more power than most people in the world. Praise God.
Now you go tell.
Yeah, well, we were talking about David also. and his meekness were like when he didn't cut up, when he cut off the skirt of Saul and he really felt bad about it. And the different, I mean, he could have taken him out a lot of different times, but he didn't want to.
Yeah, he could have killed Saul, but he didn't. He knew not to.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah, and meekness there.
Amen. David could have whacked his whole head off if he wanted to.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Praise God. Lord, I just thank you that Thursday night's going to be better. We're going to have good communications. We just praise you, Father, for that. We thank you, Lord, that for all the wonderful people that came in tonight. And Lord, we just thank you that we all learned something tonight through your revelations that everybody has, you know. Lord, we thank you for that. And we thank you, Lord, for the heart that you've given us for each other, the love that you place in our heart for one another. And Lord, I just ask for more of your heart and my heart. I want to even love my enemies like you did, Lord. And just like we've been talking about tonight, Lord, I want the meekness, I want the poor in spirit. I want to be all of that to be evident in each one of us. Let more Jesus come out in us, Lord. Help us to overcome the things that beset our walk. Help us to be more of the spirit coming out of us, more of the meekness and the poor in spirit come out. And Lord, we thank you for all you're doing in us. I thank you, Father, for all my brothers and sisters here. I ask for your protection upon them till we meet again. I ask you for new revelations, dreams, and visions about the things that's fixing to happen in this world. And Father, I just praise you for it. And I thank you, Lord, that your words of knowledge are coming about. In each one of us, as we come together, let the gifts work in us, Lord. Let the gifts work in us, whether it be here locally or here on the outreach. I ask that in the name of Jesus. And I pray, Father, that everyone here is blessed beyond their wildest dreams, spiritually speaking. That this former and this latter rain, Lord, would rain on us and give us that overcoming power. And that light that would draw people to you like moths to the light. And that the kingdom of God would be populated by the efforts of your people, Lord. I ask for your protection upon all your chosen around the world, Lord. And there's a lot of them being persecuted, Lord. But I ask for your protection upon them. And I ask, Lord, that even the ones in the Muslim countries and in the Hindu countries and in all of those different religions, Lord, would be protected from harm. And we thank you, Lord, that they're going to be a perfect witness of your love and meekness and all of that when the time comes for them, Lord. And I praise you for it. We thank you, Lord, for the power that you have afforded us, the authority over all the power of the enemy. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Help us to remember to pray for one another as we go about our day-to-day doings, Lord. And I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for being our God. We just love you, Lord. I just love you. Glory be to God, Lord. I just do. And I thank you, Father, for being part of my life, being all of my life, and being all of my brothers and sisters here, all of their lives too, Lord. In Jesus' name. And Lord, we ask that for your protection upon all of those that's going to be traveling here in the next few days, like Missy. I know she is. I'm sure some of y'all will be traveling too. And we ask for your protection that you bring them to the place that they got to go safely. In Jesus' name. Well, all right. Good night, y'all. Bless you.
Amen.